Good morning. The City Council will come to order. Carla, could you please call the roll?
Holtzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Adams?
Okay. Well, actually, I think before we call the roll, we're going to do a proclamation for REACH Community Development. And hopefully that's Commissioner Fish coming through the door. No, it's not Commissioner Fish. On the way. Well, we're going to go ahead then and recognize and welcome Oregon's.
Again.
Oh, okay. Commissioner Fish, you have a proclamation you
wish to read? Yes, thank you. I apologize for being late. Is D. Walsh and the team from REACH here, if you could come forward? We're honored to have our friends and partners from REACH CDC, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. And as my colleagues know, they are also the developers of the new Gray's Landing in South Waterfront, which will be one of the most important additions to our affordable housing inventory, the first development that has a specific focus on the needs of our homeless veterans, and once this building goes online, will meet 50% of the commitment that we've made in South Waterfront to affordable housing in the first phase. So, Dee, we're going to recognize you, but first I'd like to read a proclamation. We'll give you the original, and then we'll ask you to say a few words. Whereas September 2012 marks the 30th anniversary of REACH Community Development, Inc., and whereas REACH recognizes that a healthy community begins at home and works to provide quality, affordable homes for individuals and families, and whereas since 1982, REACH has pioneered affordable housing developments and resident programs to meet our collective housing and community development needs. And whereas REACH has gained local, state, and national acclaim for innovation and responsiveness to difficult urban issues, including awards such as the Bank of America Neighborhood Builder Award and the MetLife Foundation Award for Excellence in Affordable Housing. And whereas REACH owns and operates more than 1,600 attractive and high-quality homes throughout the Portland metropolitan region, providing a safe home for more than 1,700 Oregonians. And whereas REACH has helped more than 2,600 senior homeowners with vital fire, life, health, and safety home repairs through its Community Builders Program. And whereas REACH is guided by a core set of values, including sustainability, innovation, integrity, inclusion, collaboration, and excellence. And whereas REACH is poised to make an even greater impact on the Portland metropolitan region in coming years by setting ambitious goals to increase the production of quality, affordable, environmentally friendly homes where residents can learn skills, gain financial independence, and enjoy a strong sense of community. Now, therefore, I'm speaking for the mayor, Sam Adams, mayor of the city of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim September 5, 2012, to be a day of celebration for the 30th anniversary of REACH Community Development in Portland, a celebration of REACH Community Development in honor of 30 years of exemplary service and commitment to the public to provide safe, quality, and attractive homes to hardworking people and families in our community. Dee, congratulations.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish and Council. It's a pleasure to be here and to be recognized on behalf of REACH. In looking back at our 30 years, of which I've only been there 24, I think that's not a city bureau that we haven't worked with to achieve our mission. And it's that kind of true partnership that makes our work possible. And also, we've been very lucky because the city of Portland has such a positive, supportive policy for affordable housing. Not every community has that. When we plan something and talk to the community, the City Council is always supportive in there with the resources we need. So I want to thank you for your support and look forward to another great 30 years for REACH. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll be having a celebration in City Hall tomorrow afternoon. You want to say something about that?
There'll be a reception tomorrow afternoon starting at 5 downstairs. And we chose City Hall as our place to celebrate just because without our partnership with the city, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Well, congratulations, and let me give you the original proclamation.
Congratulations. So next, we would like to recognize and welcome Oregon's Partners of the Americas. And if Mr. Juan Diego Roldan, Ms. Karen Graham, and Ms. Marilyn McDonald, if you could take a seat. Partners of the Americas was created in the mid-1960s when the John F. Kennedy administration called on states to partner with Central and South American countries to foster better international relationships through intercultural projects and friendships. Partners is an all-volunteer organization with international headquarters in Washington, D.C. Our Oregon chapter of Partners is approaching the 50th anniversary of successful adult and high school exchanges and volunteer teacher programs. This Saturday, September 8th, from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Portland is celebrating the two-year Art to Heart Artist Exchange with a free RAC-sponsored, Regional Arts and Culture Commission-sponsored community exhibition in Director Park. There will be live music and family-friendly art activities for the public to become part of the show. So today we are honored to welcome Juan Diego Roldan, Costa Rican ambassador and curator of Costa Rica's Cultural Center. Mr. Roldan's visit has been sponsored by the United States Department, U.S. State Department, through Partners of the Americas, at the request of Partners President Karen Graham and Partners Art Project Director Marilyn McDonald. So we're fortunate to have them with us today, and thank you and welcome. And would Mr. Roldan, would you like to make a comment, or Marilyn or Catherine?
Well, first of all, I would like to say thank you. I have to say that it's a wonderful time that I've been having here in Portland. I am so amazed at a wonderful city that's so aware about nature, about to be part of a city that make people proud. And in Costa Rica, from where I come from, we are also proud about the nature, environment, and also we don't have no army. So I felt like if I were in home. And I hope to come back soon, I guess. But I would like also to say thank you to the Partners of the America and all the people that is sitting right here with me because they believe in the work we do in Costa Rica. And my idea is to strengthen our work between these two communities, San Jose, my capital, and also Portland. And in the next future, I hope to see more San Jose art experiences here and also to see more Oregon experience in my country. So feel your welcoming, and I congratulate you for this wonderful place you have, and you are keeping safe and beautiful.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome.
Thank you so much. Okay. And do come to Director Park.
Okay, Saturday. Director Park, Saturday, September 8th.
I will give you information about okay. Partners.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we'll move to communications, item 972, if you could read 972.
Request of Crystal Ilinski to address council regarding pollution in our environment.
Ms. Ilinski? Maybe she's going to show up in a few minutes. Why don't we move on to 974? 973.
Request of Shedrick Wilkins to address council regarding no coal trains for Oregon.
Mr. Wilkins? Okay, let's move on to 974.
Request of Frank Zedibel to address council regarding towing of vehicles with animals inside. He informed us he's not able to make it.
Okay. Then we'll go to our last communication. I'm sorry, second to last, 975.
975, request of Kylie Minaj Johnson to address council regarding fluoridation.
Welcome. If you can just state your name, and if you are representing an organization, please state that affiliation, and then you have 3 minutes. The clock is right in front of you.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Kylie Mina Johnson, and I'm representing the Everyone Deserves Healthy Teeth Coalition. I'm a Portland parent and a public health educator, Over the past 10 years, I've worked on a lot of issues that affect oral health, including smoke-free bars and getting junk food out of schools and getting soda out of schools. I love Portland, and I love my kids. It was my daughter's first day of kindergarten, or first grade this morning. And I strive to do everything I can to keep them healthy. That's why I support water fluoridation, because I know it will make our community a healthier place to raise children and for all of us to grow older. As a longtime public health advocate, I've been working and volunteering with the Everyone Deserves Healthy Teeth Coalition. The coalition is a broad-based and truly represents the community. Members include over 75 local organizations from the education, health, and social justice fields. Many of the coalition members deal with the dental health crisis every day. I've heard horrible stories about young children where their teeth rotted down to their gums, or who had to undergo general anesthesia to get their teeth pulled before they could have cancer surgery. I've heard about the amazing work done by volunteers, nurses, teachers, and dentists to try to get help for the children who are in need. I've learned that dental emergencies are a leading cause of preventable emergency room visits, and that the safety net programs are all just simply overwhelmed. Many people are working hard to help these kids, but we all agree that it will never be enough until we invest in the most basic preventive health service of all, water fluoridation. Coalition members will be sharing many of these stories with you tomorrow at the hearing. You will also hear plenty of misinformation about fluoridation. But I can assure you, I've looked at the research myself, thick, and as a parent, it was very reassuring to see that the only documented health outcome from water fluoridation is fewer cavities. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That is why we encourage you to adopt community water fluoridation. It has been proven to be safe and effective with over 3,000 studies and over 65 years of experience. It will reduce tooth decay by at least 25% in both adults and children, and it will especially help the most vulnerable among us. It is the most equitable solution. It is also the most cost-effective solution. As a community, we can easily afford it, but we cannot afford to let the dental health crisis to continue. I love this city, and I'm so happy to be raising my children here. Water fluoridation will make this an even better place for families and really for all of us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Our last communication, 976.
Request of Chris Allen to address council regarding fluoridation.
Welcome, Mr. Allen.
Thank you.
So if you could just state your name for the record.
My name is Chris Allen, and I'm representing myself today.
Okay, and you have 3 minutes.
Fluoride. Yes, it occurs naturally. No, what they're wanting to add to our water supply is not what we describe as naturally occurring. And no, there's no one running around mining fluoride from the Mother Earth with the sole intent of fixing the poor little children's teeth. Unfortunately, most of the fluoride they're wanting to dump in our water happens to be an industrial waste product with a higher toxicity rating than lead. When faced with the very costly responsibility of disposing of it properly as hazardous waste, industry has instead decided to simply hire a PR firm and pay off a few experts to help convince the public that it's actually good for their teeth. Of course, making sure to include the words children and poor as much as possible in every little pro-fluoride propaganda piece. The same spin tactics are used right up to this day. We get it. Health, children, poor, teeth. Got it. Thing is, if it's so good for everyone's teeth, especially the poor little children's teeth, then why do they want us to wash our cars and water our lawns and flush our toilets with it? Dental care is expensive, last time I checked. I know we can be more efficient than that in our gray to green city. And why is it that someone whose job it is to represent the people who put them in office is neglecting to follow basic tradition and protocol in order to hear out their constituents on a controversial issue, but instead is trying to play doctor and without one single prescription being filled, no questions asked regarding contraindicators, not even an over-the-phone consultation, seeks to mass medicate an entire city without its consent? Does the awareness campaign include plans to inform us all that the CDC recently issued an alert warning parents not to reconstitute infant formula using fluoridated water, or how to determine and measure just how much fluoride is enough for an adult or too much for a child? Will it educate people on how to prevent fluorosis in individuals who are especially at risk? People, stop trying to take seriously the childish little argument that says, but everyone else does it, so we should do it too. John F. Kennedy clearly warned us that, quote, conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth, end quote. We don't need to feel too special, though. Over 90% of the nations on that weird little continent of Europe do not fluoridate their water supply. The two main reasons being given are that it's unethical to medicate people without their consent, and that the stated benefits do not outweigh the risks involved in mass medicating people with a controversial drug. You see, the whole pro-fluoride versus no-fluoride argument is hardly worth spending time on right now. I don't need to tell you about the Nuremberg Code or various U.S. Supreme Court decisions regarding forced medication. Here's the reality. Every human being has certain basic human rights. One of them is the right to consent to being medicated. Nobody on the Portland City Council has the authority to take that right away from anyone. If you want to go to medical school, acquire a doctor's license, and after becoming my physician, prescribe me some fluoride that I agree to take, great. Until then, you need to cease all attempts to allow the fluoridation of Portland, Oregon's water supply. Otherwise, you'll be sending a very clear and official message to the people of Portland, Oregon, USA, and beyond that you are incompetent and or corrupt and need to be dealt with accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's move to the consent calendar. Does anybody wish to have an item removed from the consent calendar?
The mayor's office asked for 988 to be pulled, and they want that to be referred back to their office.
Okay. Should Without objection, that'll happen.
Should I read the title?
Oh, read the title, please. Okay. Yeah.
988, amend intergovernmental agreement with TriMet to modify construction scope transfers between Southwest Moody Avenue Improvement Project, Southwest Harbor Drive, Southwest River Parkway Project, and Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project.
Okay, that'll be 988. Return to the mayor's office. And please call the roll on the consent agenda.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, that brings us to our time certain, item 977. If you could please read the title, Carla.
Amend code to prohibit the use of skateboards or other similar devices in the neighborhoods surrounding Washington Park.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, President Saltzman and members of the council. Back on June 21st, we had a hearing here on an ordinance I introduced that would have banned skateboarding on a specific route up in the Southwest Hills. And as a part of that discussion, it became clear to me over the prior few days that we were beginning to have meaningful discussions between members of the skateboard community and members of the neighborhood association. So on June 21st, I asked that we postpone until today, which is June 21st being the first day of summer, and we're about 2 weeks from the end of summer. So these folks spent the entire summer actively discussing, meeting, looking for alternatives. The police bureau stepped up and did increase enforcement, adopt some sub-citywide standards in terms of skateboard use on public streets. A lot of really good things have happened. At this point, what I'd like to do is have my administrative assistant, Stu Oishi, who spearheaded this work group and kept people talking and reached out to different groups that he thought might be pulling away, brought them back to the table, and forged what I consider to be a very balanced, thoughtful, and excellent consensus proposal that you are going to hear more about from Stu. Stu?
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. Following Commissioner Leonard here, I wanted to say I appreciate in hearing all the testimony that I heard when we first brought this new language to council.
Hey, Stu, can you just pull that right in front of you? There you go.
There we go. How's that?
Better.
And moving forward, it was difficult when I was hearing from two city bureaus that, you know, there could be a better approach than a full-out ban on in the Arlington Heights neighborhood. But pushing that, we could possibly create a worse atmosphere, create more rogue skaters, with the important thing, a little enforcement mechanism to cite these skateboarders or rogue skateboarders. So after the previous council hearing, the skateboard committee met four times plus a neighborhood meeting that the Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association kindly let the bureaus at the committee speak. And the interesting thing, when everyone was in a group at these meetings, is, you know, there was a common bond. There was everyone had safety concerns. Everyone had enforcement concerns. Even the skateboarders. The skateboarders saying, "Hey, yes, we could use more enforcement. We need to be able to cite these folks that are giving us a bad name, or the rightful longboarders that take the road." And of course, the livability issue. Everyone's concerned with, yeah, okay, we need to have some structure and some respect to the neighborhood. And so in hearing this, trying to figure out, you know, where is the balance between the full-on, let's ban it all, and, you know, we need to work and work together and have a consensus on how we could keep skateboarding, the skateboarding spirit here in Portland. And so 3 weeks ago at the Arlington Heights neighborhood, I thought this was a great breakthrough. And again, I appreciate the neighborhood extending the invitation for the police bureau, the transportation, even the longboarders to this meeting. And at that time, the LA Times had this story about the city council putting skateboard regulations. So, you know, that just seemed to fall in place. It's like, yeah, we could address skateboarding regulations. But in this meeting, there was a coming together as far as an acceptance of skateboarders saying, hey, you know, we don't need to skate after 10 o'clock at night. And so, wow, that's a breakthrough. I'm going to write this down. We have this ideas from news from other cities about skateboarding regulations. So things just started to click at that point. I made a little draft to update what was proposed initially, sent it out to the committee and say, here's what I think. I need your thoughts. Let's make this work. The underlining agenda item on this ordinance was, hey, we have a ban in the selected streets in the neighborhood that the Arlington Heights neighborhoods are concerned about, but we're putting a time constriction on this from 10 at night to 7 in the morning, absolutely no skating. That is the underlying statement of this yes, you know, new language. If council decides to pass this replacement code, you know, this is not a done project at this point. This is just getting started. You know, what this is doing is putting the tools that the police force needed to cite the rogue skateboarders on the streets properly. We have that. We have a good understanding, the commitment of the resident longboarders, J.P. Rowan and Billy Miners, that they're continued educating their peers, their skateboarders, that, hey, you know, they know the value of this neighborhood and what it means to their sport, and to continue that. So they don't want to lose this. They're practicing safety issues online. They're educating the best that they can. And so I'm saying we have the things in place to make this work. With all that combined, we're seeking that the overall livability, not necessarily in Arlington Heights, but again, with this new replacement code, it's covering skateboard regulations throughout the city. So we have kind of a check and balances. We see some bad behavior on the road by skateboarders. We have the tool to pull them over, and hopefully this will educate the skaters that we're watching. We're checking them. Moving forward, we will hopefully see consistent enforcement by the police, the continued self-policing of the skateboarders and skating responsible. and kind of the overall goal may be eventually seeing a state vehicle code that validates skateboarding. This is something that we could still continue to work on and just help us keep the longboarding and skateboarding in the streets to, you know, share the responsibility of the roads, and that's what we're asking for. Today, behind me, I have the skateboard committee. If you want to get filled in on any of the details, we have from the Transportation Department, Tom Miller and Greg Raisman. They brought to the table the overall road safety survey, the landscape, and what can be used, what can't be used in this particular situation, their best practices to calm skateboarding in this neighborhood. Along with transportation, we have parks that helped in creating the road signs and the brochures of safe skateboarding in Portland. The Portland police at the table, Captain Westbrook, Sergeant Hagar, and special thanks to Officer Hillary Scott, who was kind of the coordinator in getting people to the meeting and scheduling the time for the meetings. With their help, with the police and transportation, at looking at my initial draft to regulate skateboarding, they came through with, you know, what they need to help them enforce the skateboarding issue. Longboarders, we have Billy Miners here and J.P. Rowan. And, of course, the Arlington Heights neighborhood, we have their representative, Eric Nagel, here. So with that said, if you want to get some more details on this, we have our committee here. That would field questions.
I'll leave that up to council. If you want to hear from people from the various bureaus Stu's identified, I'm more than happy to bring them up. If not, I'd certainly appreciate it if Billy and maybe Eric Nagel could come forward and give their insight into this consensus agreement that we've reached. Thank you both for being here, and I appreciate both of your involvement over this entire summer. It's been great.
Thank you.
Sure. I'd like to start out just by thanking you, Commissioner Leonard, and Stu Oishi for all of your work and efforts over the last few months on this very important issue. The Neighborhood Association believes that this ordinance is a small step in the right direction, and for that reason, we support it. We do remain concerned that there is a significant risk of a tragic skateboarding accident in the neighborhood, and we're particularly concerned that once the threat of a ban goes away, the recent focus on responsible skateboarding may go away as well. And so what I'd like to do in just a minute or two is underscore the commitments that were made during the recent collaborative effort. First, Captain Westbrook from the Police Bureau committed that next summer there will be another targeted enforcement effort in the neighborhood to deal with any skateboard violators.
Eric, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we should point out to the council that that happened during this intervening period that the Police Bureau did have targeted
enforcement. Yes, and we certainly appreciate the Police Bureau's efforts on that. There was a recent targeted enforcement effort that I think was very successful in sending a message. We think it's important that that message be reinforced next summer as well under the new ordinance. Also, the skaters themselves, represented by Billy Miners and J.P. Rowan, made a couple of commitments relating to educating skaters. They've been working on those. The two key points in educating skaters are that they skate responsibly and follow traffic laws, and that they also keep the noise level down by avoiding skate stops near homes. So we would hope to hear Billy reaffirm that commitment to that educational effort in the years to come. And finally, as Stu mentioned, there is a legal loose end that really should be tied up. When the City Council first enacted a skateboard ordinance in 2000, it assumed that skateboards would have the same legal status as bicycles on the streets. The Court of Appeals of Oregon, 2 years later, said that's actually not the case. A skateboard isn't a vehicle under the state vehicle code. During the meetings over the last few months, I think there was general agreement among all the parties, including the skateboarders, that skateboards should, in fact, be considered vehicles under the state vehicle code because That's normally the law that the police use to enforce traffic laws, not city ordinances, but the state vehicle code. And so I've submitted a draft amendment to the state vehicle code to the mayor's office. I have copies of it here if you're interested in seeing it. And we would request that item be added to the city's legislative agenda.
And I intend to do that.
Can I ask one question? And I appreciate that good legislation is often the function of compromise. But as I read Commissioner Leonard's proposed ordinance, it didn't feel like a small step to me. It felt like a pretty significant step. So I just want to make sure I understand. When you say it's a small step forward, is that because the big step forward would have been an outright ban, and this is short of that? Or is there something in between that you think we have left off the table?
Well, there were other possibilities for compromise that we would have liked to have seen. For example, perhaps a ban on certain days of the week, say Sunday to Wednesday, something like that. What we end up with is a ban that's only at effective late night hours, but skating is still permitted on neighborhood streets the rest of the time, every day of the year. And of course, the accidents that you heard testimony about during the last hearing all occurred during daylight hours. The 3-year-old boy who was run down by a skateboarder was run down in the middle of the day.
So that's helpful. But I mean, again, going back to the ordinance, it has new safety provisions in terms of minors wearing helmets. It has new requirements of lights. It has a new system of enforcement and fines, and actually specifies fines. It has a whole, so I mean, to me, it reads more like more than a small step, but I appreciate that it's also maybe a work in progress. And what I hear you saying is, let's test drive this approach, see what our progress is, but be willing to come back and revisit it if it's not accomplishing the shared goals. Is that fair?
Yes. Well, I should point out that the current ordinance already requires helmets for skaters under 16, and the current ordinance already requires lights for skaters skating at night. So that's not a change. The most significant change in the new ordinance is the late night ban on neighborhood streets and the increased fines, which I think are very important.
Additional council discussion?
Billy, would you like to add anything?
I would just like to say thank you for taking the time to address this issue, and I'm glad that I got a chance to work with all the city bureaus and also with the neighborhood to kind of come to a compromise on this. And I know that myself and J.P. Rowan plan to stay active in the skateboard community here, and we want to continue our work that we've done with the city and the neighborhood. And we'd really like to keep that line of communication open so that if something does come up, we're going to be here. We're not going away, and we want to make sure that, you know, we continue our efforts and hold up our end of the bargain.
Well, that's great. I can tell you just affirmatively that this compromise ordinance would not have happened without your involvement. I mean, had you not participated at the level you did, had you not built the credibility you did with the police bureau, with the transportation bureau, with the neighborhood, we could not have reached this that we're going to vote on. It would have probably been the original ban altogether. So the skating community that wanted so badly to be able to continue skating owes you a great deal of thanks, because we would have probably banned it today. So sometimes with benefits like that, them thanking you come responsibility. So a lot of people are going to be looking to you on both sides of the issue to make sure that people that aren't complying with what I know you believe are proper protocol for skating, that you exert your peer pressure. I mean, you're widely respected in the skating community. My son knows who you are. And so we're going to be looking to you to really help make this work. And I believe with what you've demonstrated so far, you will.
Yep, and I'm here. Door's open, so.
Great. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Leonard, thank you so much for your leadership on this issue.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if you would be willing to have a friendly amendment, to have a report back to council in a year to see how this is going, to make sure that it's followed up on after you are no longer sitting next to me.
So, Stu, we had a discussion about that at one point, didn't we?
Yes. So there was actually in our original amendment, we had a line item for that. With this new addition, this new update. Let me make sure I get the right.
I just want to make sure there wasn't some substantive reason that that wasn't here anymore.
With the new Section J, this enforcement piece by the police, they'll have a better mechanism to find skateboard citations. And so this is their tool. Doing the research before coming to council, it was almost impossible to find anything regarding a skateboard skateboard violation on the streets. With this in place, we should be able to find this and recognize, hey, yes, we do have some issues here. If we hear a complaint from the Arlington Heights neighborhood, hey, you know, there seems to be a lot of skateboarding activity. You know, the days have been really warm and nice, and we're seeing a rise in activity here. The police bureau could look at their records and say, yeah, you know, we haven't done any sightings, we haven't made any sightings on skateboarders in the area. That's their mechanism. That's what's keeping this alive is this Section J.
So they can accumulate that data and give us a report at the end of the year.
Captain Westbrook, do you want to chime in on that? Captain Westbrook had an explanation about moving forward as far as coming back to council.
Good morning. The information that we can come back and give you is how many citations we've issued. And we're happy to do that. We give that kind of information to the neighborhoods as they request.
But certainly the neighborhood could come back in a year
they
and give their
back.
Perception.
Yeah, that was skating. My point. It didn't need to be a part of the ordinance, and that whenever somebody requests what is the enforcement in our neighborhood, and we respond, usually more at a neighborhood meeting where the people who are particularly interested in the topic are going to get the information.
I just remember that the issue came up during the discussions, this has been such a finely balanced document. I want to make sure if we add it, we're not disrupting it. So it sounds like fine.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. Okay. So that's that friendly amendment?
Yep.
Thank you.
Did you already vote on this amendment?
No.
This one?
This is not an amendment. This is language being proposed by Eric Nagel to amend state statute, asking us to put this in as part of our legislative package.
Yep. Great.
And we have a hearing on that.
Has anyone signed up to testify?
I don't think we did a motion to accept the substitute yet, did we?
The substitute meaning yes. Right. We need to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. We need
so
to.
Moved.
Yeah.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Substitute. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Yeah. Saltzman?
I just want to thank everybody for their working together and producing what I think is a good compromise, and we will closely watch how this works. Aye.
Just point of order here. We're voting on a substitute ordinance, but this goes to a second reading, correct?
That's right.
Aye.
Leonard.
And because the second reading will be next week and you all will be gone, I want to say again how much I appreciate everybody coming together. The Police Bureau had their perspective, the PBOT had their perspective, Parks had their perspective, the skaters had their perspective, the neighborhood certainly had their perspective. And I want to just call out again the work by Stu. He just did yeoman's work in bringing everybody to the table, talking back and forth. Stu's a pretty mild-mannered guy, but I caught him talking to himself a couple times working on this issue. So I know even for Stu,
that had nothing to do with this issue.
I'm sorry.
He probably had his dog.
I've
his
noticed
dog.
That, too, but it might have had something to do with his new job and not
might,
this assignment.
It might have to do with that, too. So thank you, Stu, so much for your work.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Fritz.
Thank you all, particularly Commissioner Leonard, for taking this very tricky issue and insisting that the parties come to the table. Thank you, Stu, for your leadership on that, and Sarah for the Police Bureau's work over the summer. We do have a legislative agenda setting session on September 27th at 6 o'clock. So anybody who, like Mr. Nagel, wants to get issues onto the city's lobbying priorities for state or federal government law changes is welcome to attend that. So we'll certainly put this into that package. And again, thank you, everyone, for your work. Aye.
Fish.
We're not bothering.
I send him out in the audience more often. We can get out of here by lunch.
Adams.
I'm going to make a motion to apply the emergency because 30 days, if we don't, then it's sort of 30 days and a week of in between, and I'd like our great police department to know that the rules start right away. Administratively, a week of warnings, but then after that, we'll be writing real tickets. So I'll vote yes on the substitute, and then I'd like to make a motion. So yes, I now move that we apply the substitute.
Add an emergency.
That we add an emergency and that it's based on public health and our ability to immediately enforce these improvements through the police bureau and other bureaus as well. There'll be a week of warnings, and after that, we'll be moving to ticketing.
Second.
So the motion is to add an emergency, but you'll still be voting on it next week?
No, we're adding an emergency and voting today.
Okay. So are you suggesting then that it will be an emergency, but it will go into effect in 1 week?
No,
it's an emergency. It goes into effect right now. We have the administrative authority to do warnings for a week. Warnings are tickets, so we can't issue warnings until this is in effect.
All right.
So the motion is to add the emergency. Can you please call the vote?
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. We'll be now voting on the ordinance.
Public testimony.
Any public testimony?
We had one person sign up, Hillary McKenzie.
Not asked for testimony. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Mayor Adams, councilman, Hillary McKenzie. I have lived in Arlington Heights for 26 years. I live adjacent to Southwest Fairview, which is the main route for skateboarders coming down the hill. I work from home often, and I'm very aware of activity in our neighborhood. The biggest problem we have in our neighborhood with the skateboard traffic is one of perception. When I see young men and boys coming down our hill, I see the exuberance of youth, the joy of gravity, and healthy participants in an outdoor activity. I do not see the guns, drugs, or violence that plagues other parts of the city. I am not afraid. When some of my neighbors see skateboarders coming down the hill, they see dangerous, out-of-control youth that needs to be removed. Skateboard traffic has increased over the years. We have extremely quiet streets with very little traffic. Our streets are safe and a wonderful place to walk, bike, or skateboard. There's room for everyone. Some people in the neighborhood dislike skateboarders. I have seen aggressive tailgating as boarders go down the hill. On Zubom night, I have seen cars plow full speed up the hill, seemingly just to watch the Zubomers scatter. There are about 70 or 80 bikes on a big night. This is truly a hazard. We also have drivers from other areas visiting the park and wandering our streets. The skateboarders are not immune to rude behavior. There is a minority of them that are careless and disrespectful. For these reasons, I think it is essential that we have signage, as we have on Skyline Boulevard, that encourages courtesy and sharing the road. I support the actions of transportation and the skateboard community to educate the skateboarders on the safe use of the streets and wearing proper safety gear. Children in particular should not be going down the hill without helmets. You have heard from the Arlington Heights board members on this issue. The board is composed primarily of people that would prefer to have skateboarding banned from our neighborhood. You have also heard from several neighbors that agreed with the board members' position. There is no forum for neighbors that disagree with the board position. I live next door to a board member and have never been able to have any sort of reasonable conversation with him regarding skateboards. I have stayed out of the discussion, as have many other neighbors, as it did not seem worth it to start a fight within our neighborhood. The last straw for me came in July when the police were doing a sting on Southwest Fairview to ticket skateboarders. Sitting in the parking strip were two middle school-aged boys with their heads in their hands looking defeated. Standing in front of them were two policemen. It was a beautiful, sunny summer afternoon. There were no cars on the street. The boys had on proper safety gear. They were above the stop sign, so they couldn't have run it. They were doing everything boys should be doing in the summer, and they were being penalized. This is wrong. We should be nurturing and encouraging our youth, not defeating them. So have the board shops encourage safety, put up signs, educate drivers to share the road. Do not ban skateboarding. Without the energy and creativity of youth, we will have no future. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Really appreciate it. That's the only person that signed up to testify beyond the invited testimony. Carla, will you please call the vote on what is now an emergency ordinance?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Well, now I'll give the speech I was going to give next week. Since we seem to have a light agenda, I'm going to take an extra few minutes, Commissioner Leonard, if I could. Thanks to Stu for your great work on this, and thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for your leadership. What I've heard in the course of this debate is some people who've said we've gone too far and some who've said we haven't gone far enough. And frankly, when you are a legislator, that's a pretty good signal that you might have hit the sweet spot. But as someone who was skeptical of an outright ban and concerned about displacement onto other streets and parks, I think this is a good approach. And it's a starting point. And we can always fine-tune it if there are unintended consequences or if it's not working. But I appreciate the fact that people came together and found common ground, because we do better work when that happens. And we're not forcing a solution that may have significant opposition. So, again, I appreciate the leadership of Commissioner Leonard and his team, and I very much appreciate all the folks who came and sat down in earnest at the table and got to this point. The purpose of this ordinance is not to pick on skateboarders. The purpose of this ordinance is to save lives. That's the only reason we're doing this. I've not detected a single bit of anti-skateboarding animus in this debate. But there has been a lot of evidence that someone is going to get killed if we don't have some reasonable precautions against behavior which appears to me to be reckless. And that's what we're trying to get at. So I appreciate all the good work that led to this point. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for taking on this very difficult task. Thanks to Stu for your great work on this. I'd like to thank the Police Bureau and the Bureau of Transportation for stepping up, and we will be enforcing right away, starting with warnings and then tickets. So beware. Aye. So approved. Okay, we're going to take a 3-minute quick break. For those of you that are here for skateboards, you're welcome to stay, but now is your time to exit. And for those that are up standing, if you want to look for empty chairs down here, we've got, it looks like we've got, oh, good 10, 11 of them, 12. So if you're standing in the back, if you want to come downstairs, we've got open seats down here. Thanks for your work. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
But we okay. Hey, how are you? Nice to see you. Life treating you okay? Good, good.
We're currently over fire code, as you can see.
We're what?
About over 5,000 people, but they're going to the fire.
Yeah, I'm asking them to come and sit down.